I want to talk about Daddy Long Legs. For one thing, they have the best name of any bug. They're not a spider. I know that. Are they an insect or what?
Nope, not a bug either. Not an insect. They're arachnids, which is the same group spiders are in.
But they're not spiders.
No, technically you'd say they're even closer to ticks and mites and stuff, all of which are kind of scary, creepy crawlies. But
the daddy long legs is not—it's not a creepy crawly for some reason. It's—I mean, most kids are pretty receptive to touching or holding a daddy long legs. People don't want to squash them immediately when they see them. They have kind of a special status somehow.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that is.
I hesitate to say that they're cute,
right?
You know, but they're not creepy.
Yeah, they're not as scary
creepy
as a spider would be for some reason. And I think you might register a little bit of how it looks, because if you look carefully, it's one big body part instead of two like a spider would have. So maybe you notice that somewhere in your consciousness. So that's different. If you looked real close, you'd see other differences. Like they've only got two eyes that point forward instead of eight like a spider would have.
It's just something about them is not that threatening.
Yeah.
They have these big long legs that they wave around. Are those legs or antenna? I mean, sometimes they seem to use them for walking and...
Well, they can use them like antennae. Like you said, the second pair of legs, the second from the front, are really long, and they move them like antennae, too, like you said. And they've got nerve endings and little grooves along the sides, and they can use it for smell. They can smell things. They can taste things by touching it. They can feel vibrations, and maybe like a blind person's cane, they can feel where they're going, and it's almost like having an extra set of eyes out like that.
Are they poisonous? I think there's a rumor that they're poisonous.
Yeah, there's a common rumor, which a lot of folks believe, is that they're the most deadly kind of thing out there. They got this amazing poison, but they never bite you because they can't break your skin or something like that. And actually, it's not true. They don't have venom. So they are predators, though. They eat insects, and they can even eat things like worms and slugs.
Well, the other name for them is harvestmen. That's a second good name. So they have two good names, harvestmen. Is that because they're scavengers or, you know, carrion eaters? Or?
Well, it would be a good name for that reason because they do what you said, but it's apparently because you often see them gathering in large numbers in the fall, the fall harvest season. In fact, I was just noticing that, too, on my lawn in September. There were swarms of them in the grass.
Really?
Bobbing around on their legs.
Well, they do that bobbing thing where they just stand there and their body just goes up and down. Why do they do that?
As far as I could tell...
Do they do that when they all get together and they do that?
Well, they were doing it when I watched them, so I suspect it could either be maybe like a courtship thing, but I know they use it for a defense against predators, so maybe if they're squaring off against each other, mating or something, it could be a... I think it's meant to look weird.
It does look weird. They just stand there all going up and down like
that. Yeah, and confuse and intimidate something. Mm-hmm. So even though they're not poisonous, they're not defenseless. They've got a lot of things. And actually, they do have poison, but not in their – they don't have fangs or anything. They have a really nasty, smelly chemical they produce, actually a bunch of chemicals, that if they're really, really scared and they've tried other defenses like bobbing or playing dead or something like that.
They play dead?
They can play dead and, you know, kind of curl their legs up and just sit there and – trying not to be seen. But this chemical thing, they release fluid from their mouth, and then it runs down grooves on the sides of their body and mixes with these other chemicals and turns dark and nasty and smelly. So if something tried to eat them, they'd spit them out. But even before it gets to that point, they'll take their – a lot of them will take their legs and wipe the stuff off the sides of their body and then try to smear it on an attacker.
Clever. Very clever. How do they eat?
Well, unlike a spider, which would have to just drink the fluids from its prey, these can actually take chunks. So although they don't have real jaws, you'd say they do have like mouth parts, you could say, in the front that can actually take little pieces off.
And they just eat everything?
Pretty much everything there, which might actually make sense considering they've been around from way before the time of the dinosaurs, even before amphibians were on land. They go back to the Paleozoic, and so they've just been really successful probably from that reason.
Do they make good pets?
They're apparently pretty easy to raise. I've never kept them as a pet, but all you need is a terrarium in a jar and put a little bit of soil and maybe some leaves to hide under, put a little moisture in there so they don't dehydrate, and then they eat like butter and little pieces of meat and fatty stuff. And so Actually, I'd encourage listeners that want to try that sort of thing. They molt every 10 days, and there's a mystery I wasn't able to get an answer for, is that if they drop their leg, if they get tugged, or if they're scared, they'll often drop a leg, and then it'll twitch and distract a predator. But do they grow them back is apparently an unresolved mystery. So what all it would take is, if you've got one missing a leg, keep it for about 2 weeks.
See what happens.
And next time it molts, see what happens and let us know.
Thanks very much, Dr. Kurt Steger of Paul Smith College. I'm Martha Foley.
Natural Selections is produced by North Country Public Radio with natural sounds by Ted Mack. The program is underwritten by the Glenn and Carol Pearsall Adirondack Foundation, dedicated to improving the quality of life for year-round residents of the Adirondack Park. www.pearsallfoundation.org. And Paul Smith's, the College of the Adirondacks, 800-421-2605.